ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इलूजरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 46। वेदोक्तमेव कुर्वाणो निस्संगोर्पितमीश्वरे नैष्कर्म्यं लभते सिद्धिं रोचनार्था फलश्रुतिः। वेदोक्तमेव कुर्वाणो निस्संगोर्पितमीश्वरे नैष्कर्म्यं लभते सिद्धिं रोचनार्था फलश्रुतिः। वेदोक्तमेव कुर्वाणो निस्संगोर्पितमीश्वरे नैष्कर्म्यं लभते सिद्धिं रोचनार्था फलश्रुतिः। वेदोक्तमेव कुर्वाणो रोचनार्था फलश्रुतिः। वेदोक्तमेव कुर्वाणो निस्संगोर्पितमीश्वरे नैष्कर्म्यं रोचनाथ Vedoktam, the regulated activities described by the Vedas. Eva, certainly. Kurvanaha, performing. Nissanga, without attachment. Arpitam, offered. Ishvare, to the Supreme Lord. Naishkarmyam, of liberation from material work and its reactions. Labhate, one achieves. Siddhim, the perfection. Rochana artha, for the purpose of giving encouragement. Falashrutihi, the promises of material results given in the Vedic scriptures. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. By executing without attachment the regulated activities prescribed in the Vedas, offering the results of such work to the Supreme Lord, one attains the perfection of freedom from the bondage of material work. The material fruitive results offered in the revealed scriptures are not the actual goal of Vedic knowledge, but are meant for stimulating the interest of a performer. We will read the second half of the purport. There is a class of duplicitous men who misunderstand the transcendental purpose of the Vedas and falsely claim that material fruitive results such as promotion to heaven, which is offered in the Agnishtoma sacrifice, constitute the ultimate goal of the Vedas. Such foolish men have been described by Lord Krishna. Vyamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschitah vedavadara tapartha nanidastiti vadinah kamatmana swargapara janma karma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Bhagavad Gita 2.42-43. To refute such a foolish understanding of the Vedic purpose, this verse uses the word nissanga, which means without attachment to material results. The actual purpose of the Vedas is arpitam ishvare, to offer everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The result is siddhim, or the perfection of life, Krishna consciousness. The words rochanartha phalashrutihi clearly indicate that the fruitive results promised in the Vedic literature are meant to stimulate a materialistic person to have faith in the Vedic injunctions. The example is given that a child may be offered candy-covered medicine. The child becomes enthusiastic to take the medicine because of the candy coating, whereas a mature person will be enthusiastic to take the medicine itself, knowing that such medicine is meant for his real self-interest. The mature platform of Vedic understanding is mentioned in the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Tametam vedanu vachanena brahmana vividishanti brahmacharyena tapasa shraddhaya yajnena nashakena cha. By the teaching of the Vedas and by celibacy, penances, faith and controlled eating, great brahmanas come to know the Supreme. The Supreme is Krishna, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Although the prescribed rituals of the Vedas may sometimes resemble material fruity work, the activity is spiritualized because the result is offered to the Supreme. Candy-covered medicine and ordinary candy may appear or taste the same, but the candy-covered medicine has a therapeutic effect not found in ordinary candy. Similarly, the words Naishkarmyam Labhate Siddhim in this verse indicate that a faithful follower of the Vedic injunctions will gradually be promoted to the highest perfection of life, pure love of Godhead, as stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Pumartho Mahan. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. So we are continuing the discussion of 11th canto, the discussion between King Nimi and Navayogendras. So as we saw in the purport today and yesterday, the Vedic scriptures offer several instructions for different classes of people. Not all instructions are on the same level, and not all instructions are meant for the same class of people. Depending on the level of the audience, capacity of the audience, maturity of the audience, different levels of instructions are offered, so that every person in each level can gradually rise to the highest platform of transcendental realization. And because instructions are different for different people, sometimes the instructions appear contradictory to each other. But a person who has a complete understanding will find no contradictions and is able to see the unifying purpose of all instructions. So here we find these words: Rochanartha Phalashruti, which means some instructions are given to those people to stimulate their interest in Vedic literature. So if you directly tell them you have to give up materialistic life, fruity work, no one is ready, because people are addicted to working for results. So then the example of candy covered medicine is given, where the external coating is sweet and inside the medicine is inserted. So then the person is eager to take the medicine, although he is not aware of the medicine inside. He is more interested in the fruitive results that is obtained by the activity. But in the course of working for that fruitive result, his disease is getting cured. Disease towards materialistic life is slowly getting cured, and is slowly promoting himself to higher stages of spiritual life. So that's how Vedic instructions are designed, the literatures are designed. So today we will be discussing, based on the Gita's 17th chapter, where Krishna is talking about Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga, which means the faith of every person is influenced by the three modes of material nature. So there Arjun is asking a question. So in the previous chapter, Krishna described the divine and demonic natures, and in this chapter Arjun raises a question: if anyone doesn't have a faith in scripture, so how do we classify his faith? How do we understand his faith? Because in 16th chapter, Krishna talked about those who have faith in scriptures are divine, and those who do not have any faith in scripture are demonic. He talked about the two extremes of the banyan tree. So who are those people who have some faith but not in scripture? So then Krishna says these people fall within the two extremes of the banyan tree, and where they fall within the banyan tree depends on which mode of material nature is influencing them. So if it is mode of goodness, they have a certain faith If they are influenced by mode of passion, they have certain faith. And those who are influenced by mode of good ignorance, their faith is weaker or in something else. So in this way he classifies. So anyone, no matter in which part of the world, in which part of the universe, everyone has got some faith, and all these faiths can be classified under this tree of banyan tree. Somewhere within this structure, everyone's faith will fall. Just like we had this periodic table in chemistry. So no matter which element you have within the universe, it was classified in such a way that based on their atomic number, right? Atomic number. Every element within this universe, within this earth, it will find a place in the table. So that shows how everything is classified scientifically. There can be no element which is such a unique element that it has no place in the structure. Somewhere it will fall. Because that's how the classification is done. So similarly, Krishna classifies every faith that it can be accommodated within this structure. Somewhere it will fall. So he says, how to evaluate someone's faith? So in Vedic times, traditional Vedic times, people would perform yajna, dan and tapa. Sacrifice, charity and austerity. These were the three common activities people would perform in order to acquire piety, pious results. So directly these three activities don't offer you any benefits. The activity in itself is not a very enjoyable thing. No one likes to perform yajna. It's a difficult job. No one likes to perform tapasya. It's bodily inconvenience. And no one likes to donate in charity their hard-earned wealth. So these three activities are not enjoyable to perform. But if someone performs these activities, that means he is expecting some results. Future results. So Krishna says, anyone who does what kind of yajna, dan and tapa a person performs, that will decide his level of faith. To evaluate anyone's faith, check what kind of yajna, dan and tapa that person is doing. Accordingly, we can decide which level of faith he is having, he is possessing, or which mode of nature is influencing him. So he says, and also what kind of worship he is doing. Whom is he worshipping? Which god, which demigod, which human being, which demon? What is his object of worship? That also will decide his level of faith. So he says, people who worship demigods are in the mode of goodness. Yajante sattvika devan yaksha rakshamsi rajasa. Those who worship yakshas and rakshasas are situated in the mode of passion. Pretan bhutaganams chanye. Those who worship pretas and bhutas, ghosts and spirits, they are situated in the mode of ignorance. So in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada gives a nice explanation based on contemporary Hindu worship. So he says, when the mode of goodness is mixed with passion, one worships the sun god, Vivaswan. So goodness, passion, ignorance, you have a permutation combination. Depending on what combination you have, accordingly you will choose a particular demigod to worship. So goodness plus passion mixed will motivate you to worship Vivaswan, sun god. Goodness mixed with ignorance, such a person worships whom? Ganesh. When the mode of passion is mixed with ignorance, such a person worships Durga or Kali. The external potency. And one is totally in the mode of ignorance. Such a person usually becomes a devotee of Lord Shiva. However, when one is completely free from the influence of all the modes of material nature, one becomes a pure Vaishnava on the devotional platform, worshipping Lord Vishnu or Krishna. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela purport. So now at one point of time, few centuries ago, we had people worshipping all kinds of gods and demigods and goddesses. And it was a total confusion. So that's when Shankaracharya comes in. He descends. And he decides to filter everything, all useless forms of worship. And he condenses everything to Panchopasana. Worship of five primary deities. Which are those? Shakti, Surya, Ganesh, Shiva and Vishnu. So at least, so according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, these five deities are not just Hindu gods. One may consider these are all Hindu gods and Hindu worshippers are worshipping these gods. But he says, worship of these five deities indicate a certain kind of mentality, a certain consciousness. And these primary deities indicate the worshipper's level of advancement. So this kind of classification can be applied to person of any religion in any part of the world. Because that's an attitude, that's a mentality of the worshipper. So people who worship Shakti means they are worshipping material nature, the energy that is found in this world. So in today's time we have scientists who are totally into scientific research and their whole idea of creation is matter. Everything rests on matter, everything is founded on matter, and matter is the source of everything, the cause of everything. So scientists can fall under that category. Then a little higher are those who worship Surya, the sun god. Because they acknowledge not just matter, they even accept energy as the cause of everything. So they are placed slightly higher. Even higher than them are these worshippers of Lord Ganpati, Ganesh. Because they accept a conscious being who is controlling matter and energy. A man-animal god. Slightly higher than that is the worshippers of Lord Shiva. Because they understand beyond everything, matter, energy, all these people, there is an impersonal oneness. And they worship that feature of the absolute truth. And finally, above all this, even above impersonal oneness, are those people who accept a personal transcendental God who is the controller of both impersonal and material energies and understand that entity is Lord Vishnu or Krishna, and those who worship Krishna, they are classified as the highest. So all these worshippers may not be directly worshipping a deity, but their mentality, based on that, we have these five classes of worshippers. And we can evaluate their faith based on what kind of worship they have. So yajna, dana, tapa, these three activities will indicate a person's faith. So it is said, one who performs yajna, he gets rid of the adhyatmic kleshas that he is facing. Adhyatmic kleshas means misery is caused by one's own body, right? Body and mind. Misery is caused by body and mind can be taken care of by performing yajna. By tapa. By performing tapasya, one takes care of the adhyatmic kleshas. By performing daan, charity, one takes care of adi bhautik kleshas. And by performing yajna, one takes care of adi daivik kleshas. One pleases the demigods, higher powers, and then they are pleased, they reciprocate, and then human society is peaceful. So Krishna says, after classifying, describing the yajna, daan and tapa and worshippers in three modes, he concludes the chapter by saying, even if you have fruitive goals, even if you are desiring material results by performing yajna, daan and tapa, and even if you are situated in the lowest mode of ignorance, still you can rise up by chanting Om Tat Sat after the performance of everything. Om Tat Sat iti nirdesho brahmanas trivida smrita. So by reciting these three words, Om Tat Sat, all your yajna, daan, tapa will become transcendental and purified. May not be immediately, but gradually those things will improve in their quality. So Om indicates, like we have this word, Omni, omniscient, omnipotent, which means all powerful, all pervading, Omni. Even in Western traditions we have this word, Amen, Amin. So just similar, probably derived from the same word Om. So Om, which is a common syllable uttered when every mantra, every ritual, all syllables. So Om is there. Tat indicates Tat Tomasi, which is a famous Mahavakya for the impersonalists, Shankaracharya's followers. Tat Tomasi, they interpret it as I am that, whereas Vaishnava scholars interpret it as I am His, or I am that in quality. I am equal to that. And Sat indicates the absolute nature of the absolute truth as the underlying cause of everything. There is one common cause that is underlying all the things that we see in this material world. There is one root cause. That cause is identified as Sat. So when Krishna says in this chapter, by reciting Om Tat Sat, we can make everything transcendental, indirectly he is talking about chanting the holy names. Everyone may not be eager to directly chant Hare Krishna or any personal name of God. Om Tat Sat is like a generic name. Generic name which appears non-sectarian, secular. So everyone has no problem in reciting these vibrations. If you directly tell them chant Krishna, then it appears, oh, it's a Hindu name, it's a sectarian name. So then this is a more generic way of bringing people closer to a personal worship. So the same topic continues in 18th chapter. Krishna says, Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu sarva karma falatyagam prahustyagam vichakshana. So Arjuna is asking a question in the beginning. He says, what is the difference between sannyas and tyag? Similar question he had asked in chapter 5 also. So indirectly he is asking, should I fight or not fight? Sannyas means, he is asking, should I have, externally should I renounce everything? Or should I continue fighting with a devotional detached spirit? So Krishna defines what is sannyas and what is tyag. He says, kamyanam karmanam nyasam. Giving up kamya karma or karma that is motivated to get some kam result. That kind of work, when they are rejected, given up, it is called sannyas. Sannyasam kavayo vidhu. He is not quoting his opinion, giving his opinion. He is saying kavayo vidhu. Learned scholars have said this. Whereas other experienced people are saying, Sarva karma falatyagam. Giving up falatyag, giving up the desire of, giving up the fruits of activities, prahus tyagam vichakshanat. Experienced people call it tyag. So one is the external giving up of activities, which some people call sannyas, and giving up of the fruits of activities, some people call it tyag. And then Krishna goes on to say, even great souls, pavanani manishinam, he says, even great souls are purified by performing yajna, dana and tapa. Therefore, never give up yajna, dana and tapa. Yajna, dana, tapa, karma, na tyajyam karyam eva tat, yajna, danam, tapascheva, pavanani manishinam. He says, although, even if you are thinking of giving, doing sannyas, taking up sannyas, never give up yajna, dana and tapa. Because these activities purify even great souls. And then he goes on to give his opinion. He says, Nishchayam Shrunu. He says, my opinion is, you act in such a way that you are not attached to the fruits. And then he describes renunciation in three modes. How people give up things based on various motives. So he says, those who give up activities whimsically, without thinking, due to illusion, such people are in the mode of ignorance. Whereas those people who give up things, dukkha mityeva yat karma. Those who think, oh, such activity, yajna, dana and tapa, is too much dukkha involved. Therefore, I want to give it up. Kaya klesha bhayatyajit. They give it up because it is too troublesome for the body, too troublesome for the mind, too troublesome for the pocket. So therefore, kaya klesha bhayatyajet, they give it up. Sakrutva rajasam tyagam. Such renunciation is rajasam tyagam, is in the mode of passion. Naiva tyaga phalam labhet. If you renounce in this spirit, you won't get the result of tyag. It is a waste of time. On the other hand, karyam ityeva yat karma. If you renounce activities because it is the duty, out of duty you give up certain things. Like in the Varnashram system, we have this system of brahmachari, grihastha, vanapras, sannyas. At a certain age, we are supposed to give up certain things and take up certain things. So at the age of 50, for example, a person is expected to give up all social connections, retire from family life and take to pilgrimage. Although he may be too involved in business and other things, he is expected to give up. So that is a duty. And then after a certain age, he has to renounce even family and take to the renounced order of life, sannyas. Such kind of dutiful renunciation, Krishna says, in the mode of goodness, sattvika. Satyaga satyiko mataha. So otherwise, in general, pious societies, yajna, dana and tapa are considered to be, are respected. If someone does some yajna, some tapasya, some fasting, some dan, people glorify and appreciate it. But Krishna doesn't appreciate every yajna, dana and tapa. If it is a mode of ignorance and passion, such yajna, dana, tapa is a waste of time. Not just a waste of time, it could be even destructive. People donating liquor bottles, it may appear dan, but that is going to destroy a social structure. What you do dan? Whom do you do dan? So, and what kind of tapasya you perform? Not any austerity is appreciated. Austerity for egoistic goals is not appreciated. Austerity for self-torture is not appreciated. Like we have this, recently this thing is going on, the Blue Whale game. Children are committing suicide. They are committing severe austerities by cutting their bodies and doing other horrible activities. That is also tapasya. But such tapasya is in the mode of ignorance. Self-destructive tapasya. So not all tapasya, yagya, dana is appreciated. What is the motive behind doing them? For whom are you doing? That will decide whether it is glorified or denounced. So in this way, so therefore Vedic literatures encourage one to gradually come to that level of faith where you perform activities in the mode of goodness and beyond goodness. So here in this purport we find the example of candy-coated medicine, so that people in the beginning may have some addiction to certain activities. No problem, you continue them, but take also the even continue taking the medicine also along with the candy. Then you will gradually rise to the platform of pure goodness. So that's the main message of this purport. Rochanartha Falashruti. And even in the Bhagavatam we find Naishkarmi Mapyachada Bhava Varjitam. If it is not offered to Supreme, then any work will not give you the result. So today also happens to be the day of Prabhupada taking sannyas. In 1959, the Leelamrita describes how the events that led to Prabhupada taking sannyas. So when he was a householder, even before his early days, when he got married, when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Saraswati Thakur urged him to dedicate his full time towards the preaching mission of the Gaudiya Math. But Prabhupada felt that, I am already married, I am already having children, I cannot give up my family. I cannot give up my family. And this is too immature. If I take sannyas now, that will be too immature. So therefore, he waits. He says, this is not the right time, maybe I will consider it later. And a couple of times during his grihastha life, he saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur coming in his dream and urging him, take sannyas, take sannyas, take sannyas. But still he felt, I was not prepared, I am not prepared. I need more time, I need more time. And then the whole episode of Jhansi happened, where he tried to establish a league of devotees, trying to start a mission, worldwide mission. For some reason that failed. So that time he was like a vanaprastha. And again he got a dream. Saraswati Thakur in the same original form, coming in his dream and telling him, come on, take sannyas, take sannyas. And he woke up with a start. And he said, I need to do something about it. So he approaches the Chaitanya Math in Mayapur, which was the legal owner of the legal representative of the Gaudiya Math. All the Gaudiya Math had broken into several factions. Chaitanya Math represented Gaudiya Math at that time legally. So he goes there and he meets the leader. His name was Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. And he tells him his dream and his direct order that he received from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How Saraswati Thakur wanted him to preach in English language, go all over the world, write books. So Tirtha Maharaj said, he didn't say no. He said, yes, there are many devotees who have taken sannyas from our Gaudiya Math, Chaitanya Math. And in time, you stay with us, do seva, and then in time, you will also get, we will award you sannyas. Don't take decision in a hurry. Everything has to be done in consultation, in with proper maturity. If you take in a hurry, then it may not help you. Then Prabhupada talked about printing his books. So he said, we have several books in publication, in line for publication. We have the Goswami Sandarbhas and so many other books we have. In time, we will publish your book also. But stay with us. We will provide you a nice, airy, well-lit room. where you can stay comfortably. So he said, there are so many others who have been separatist, trying to start their own thing, but all have broken off over a period of time. You don't do that. You stay with us. In this way, we can serve the mission of Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada didn't feel encouraged to hear this. He thought the main reason his godbrother is not supporting him is because of lack of funds. And he said, I am not eager to get a well-lit, airy room. I already have it in Vrindavan. I don't have to give up that and come here to get an airy room. My main thing is how to serve mission, Saraswati Thakur's mission. And if my godbrother is not helping him, then I have to find some other source. So feeling discouraged from this place, he decides to go to another godbrother, Keshav Maharaj. And he expresses his desire, how Saraswati Thakur appeared in his dream, and urging him to take sannyas. So as soon as Keshav Maharaj heard this, he immediately encouraged him, you should take sannyas, don't waste time. So after thinking over it deeply, Prabhupada decides to go for it. So on September 17, 1959, they assemble several devotees, Prabhupada and several other devotees, assemble in the 50 by 25 foot DT room on the second floor of Keshavji Mutt in front of the deities of Radha Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So there is one more devotee, 90-year-old Sanatan, who is also going to take sannyas along with Abhay Babu. So both are seated and there is Narayan Maharaj who is going to perform yagya for them, sannyas yagya. And Keshav Maharaj is sitting, presiding over the whole function. And the yagya is performed, all the basic formalities are done. And Keshav Maharaj announces his name, Bhaktivedanta Swami. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he announces. And he requests Prabhupada to speak something. So Prabhupada is not prepared to speak. So when he is asked to speak, he looks over the entire room and is wondering, which language should I speak in, Hindi or English? So he notices that most people understand only Hindi. Only Keshav Maharaj and a couple of others can understand English. But because it is the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur to preach in English language, he decides to speak there in English. And he gives a short speech. And after the speech, both the sannyas initiates receive their danda, tridanda, and wrapped in a saffron cloth. They are given their sannyas garments, saffron garments, neck beads, and sannyas mantra. And they take a photo. That's the time they take a photo, which is there in Lilamrit. Keshav Maharaj standing in between. And Abhay Bhaktivedanta Swami and Sanatan Prabhu, the two sannyas initiates standing. So Prabhupada later explains how sannyas is not just a formality. From one point of view, it was not a big difference. He was already working as a sannyasi even before sannyas. Already preaching, trying his best, publishing Back to Godhead magazine and working like a sannyasi already. So what difference it is going to make by taking a saffron robe and getting a new name, going through the yagya. So then he explains how in traditional Hindu society, sannyas is a position that is respected by everyone. Even Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Because as a grihastha, he was not respected. People wouldn't hear him. But as soon as, in fact, as a grihastha, people were blaspheming him, not able to appreciate his position. But when he took sannyas and took the saffron dress, shaved his head, then even the blasphemers started offering obeisances to him, respecting him, started listening to him. So similarly, he said, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, I am taking the sannyas not just for a position, but this position will enable me to preach more effectively and spread the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur in a more effective manner. That is the main motivation behind taking sannyas. And immediately after taking sannyas, he got the opportunity from Japan about a Congress convention on some world religions. They were inviting various religious scholars from all over the world to present a topic of religious subject. So Prabhupada thought, Saraswati Thakur has told me to preach in the Western countries in the English language. But this is Japan, which is East. No problem, whatever opportunity comes first, I will accept that. So he thought, maybe through Japan, I will get passage to the West, US. So immediately accepted the invitation, and the Japanese people said, we will take care of all your accommodation expenses, food expenses here in Japan. All you have to do is arrange for your travel fare. So Prabhupada said, that's okay, that's easy. And he started writing letters to so many other people, the government officials and Gaudiya Mata Broad Brothers, hoping that someone will come forward with the financial support. And in the meantime, he started writing a book based on the 10th canto, the autumn season. He titled the book, The Light of the Bhagavat, where he compared material phenomena with spiritual truths. And he presented this book to the Japanese officials. And they also liked it very much. They encouraged him. Everything went on smoothly. Only one problem remained. His ticket fare. And only a few days were left, and he was struggling frantically hard to get the finances. And even government officials refused to offer him support. Gaudiya Mata officials offered him to support. So finally he turned to the Japanese officials directly. He said, no one is offering me. You are the only one who can help me. If you can somehow pay my, I think it was 3,500 rupees, travel fare, up and down. He said, then only I can come, otherwise I will have to cancel the whole thing. And they replied back saying, sorry, we cannot help you. And the whole thing ended in a dream only. Of course, we understand how later Prabhupada then got a better opportunity. So Prabhupada was not discouraged. He took everything as Krishna's mercy and continued his efforts here in India. And finally came the breakthrough where he got an opportunity to go to the US. And the whole thing unfolded. So this is Prabhupada's, the most auspicious day of Prabhupada's taking sannyas. So I'll stop here. Any comments or questions anyone has? Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.